In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Greetings, God's good people, and welcome. You are listening to Catholic Meditation with me, Father Blessed. This day, Saturday, the 6th of July, 2019. The Church celebrates today the Feast of Saint Maria Goretti, Virgin and Martyr. Thanks for joining us. Let us pray. O God, author of innocence and lover of chastity, who bestowed the grace of martyrdom on your handmaid, the Virgin Saint Maria Goretti, in her youth, grant, we pray, through her intercession, that as you gave her a crown for her steadfastness, so we too may be firm in obeying your commandments. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God forever and ever. Amen. Today's first reading is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 27, verses 1 to 5 and verses 15 to 29. The Gospel is taken from St. Matthew, chapter 9, verses 14 to 17. I read from the first reading. When Isaac had grown old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he summoned his elder son, Esau. "Son," he said, and Esau replied, "Here I am." He then said, "Look, I am old and do not know when I may die. Now take your weapons, your quiver and bow, go out into the country and hunt me some game. Make me the kind of appetizing dish I like, and bring it to me to eat, and I shall give you my special blessing before I die." Rebekah was listening while Isaac was talking to his son Esau. So when Esau went into the country to hunt game for his father, Rebekah took her eldest son Esau's best clothes, which she had at home, and dressed her younger son Jacob in them, covering his arms and the smooth part of his neck with the skins of the kids. She then handed the special dish and the bread she had made to her son Jacob. He went to his father and said, "Father." "Yes," he replied, "which of my sons are you?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of the game I have brought, and then give me your soul's blessing." Isaac said to his son, "Son, how did you succeed so quickly?" He replied, "Because Yahweh, your God, made things go well for me." Isaac said to Jacob, "Come closer, son, so that I can feel you and be sure whether you are really my son Esau or not." Jacob went closer to his father Isaac, who felt him and said, "The voice is Jacob's voice, but the arms are the arms of Esau." He did not recognize him, since his arms were hairy like his brother Esau's, and so he blessed him. He said, "Are you really my son Esau?" And he replied, "I am." Isaac said, "Serve it to me, so that I can eat my son's game and give you my special blessing." He served it to him and he ate. He offered him wine and he drank. His father Isaac said to him, "Come closer and kiss me, son." He went closer and kissed his father, who sniffed the smell of his clothes. Then he blessed him, saying, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a fertile field which Yahweh has blessed. May God give you dew from heaven and the richness of the earth, abundance of grain and wine. Let peoples serve you and nations bow low before you. Be master of your brothers. Let your mother's other sons bow low before you. Accursed be whoever curses you, and blessed be whoever blesses you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
God is concerned about the heart, not the sin. God is concerned about the heart, not the sin. Dearly beloved, there are some biblical stories one wonders if there is any moral or spiritual lesson to learn from them, like that of today. Jacob, with the help of his mother Rebekah, deceives his old blind father Isaac and steals the paternal blessing which was meant for the firstborn sons, that is, Esau, his brother. Sometimes, too, reading these stories, one wonders what God is up to, why he would allow such to happen. It makes us develop some hate or abhorrence for some characters like Jacob, even Rebekah, his mother. And these things still happen even today. Manipulation, fraud, cheating, and outright theft. We see how people take things that we think should belong to others. Then to see that the one who does all this is permitted or even used by God even makes us wonder the more. Jacob steals a blessing. Such a fraudster, yet God uses him as the next patriarch to fulfill the line of the promise. Does God support evil? Does he promote it? We expect him to punish Jacob, to make him meet his Waterloo. Rather, it is Esau who loses his right and becomes the victim and is cast away. Beloved, looking at these stories in this way gives us a wrong impression and interpretation. The lesson and focus is to make us see and understand that God does not see things as humans do. His ways are not our ways, neither are his thoughts our thoughts. That Jacob was a thief and a fraudster, those were his witnesses, as a human person, that we all have. There is none of us without faults and weaknesses. Even Esau himself had his own faults and weaknesses as a human person. He had a carefree attitude. Even with serious matters, he did not care. Remember that the very Esau had given away, in fact, he sold away his birthright for as something cheap as a plate of soup. Genesis chapter 25, verses 29 to 34. That was how much he valued serious matters. Secondly, Esau was not faithful to Jewish tradition. He married Canaanite, that is, pagan women, though he knew so well that Canaanite women displeased his father. Genesis chapter 28, verses 6 to 9. Now, is this the kind of man who would care for the sheep with such carefree attitude? In Africa, we know that most firstborn sons become heirs, that is what is called in local parlance chopche, of the family. But it is not every father who would give the first son or make him the heir if he has a wayward character. We have seen cases where even the last son, or perhaps the middle son, becomes the heir, because it is not about position, it is about character, it is about the heart. You won't give your firstborn son or make him heir just because he is firstborn son when he has a carefree attitude, who will not care for the rest of the family members. God's choice of us is not about being perfect, for none of us is perfect actually. If he was even to treat us according to our faults, who would survive? We all have our weaknesses and skeletons in the cupboard. Yet, among the bad, for there is none of us who is good, God tries to find those with a sincere heart, and Jacob had that which Esau did not have. No one is worthy of God's call. We are all sinners. Yet, God can write straight even on crooked lines, but he needs the willingness of the crooked lines. That willingness, that availability, that sincere heart to do his will is what God is looking for, and he found in Jacob that Esau did not have. You may even be very holy without sin, yet with a heart full of self-desire and personal interest, and not for God's service. God will not use you. Which of the apostles did not have a weakness, anyways? Peter even denied Jesus thrice, yet Jesus saw his willing heart and determination to care for the sheep, and he made him head of the apostles. David was both a murderer and adulterer. That was his own weakness as a person. Yet he had a willing heart and an obedient spirit to Yahweh than Saul, who justified his sin and was too proud to admit his mistake. So God's good people, do not think the reading is encouraging vice. So go on sinning and say, after all, David sinned. Jacob stole the blessing. No, God does not encourage vice. After all, we are sinners anyway. Rather, the reading intends first to make us know that none of us is without weakness. It doesn't matter what it is. Stop pointing fingers at others. Jacob is a thief and a fraudster, yes. And what are you? Are you any better? Who among us is even holy if God were to use holy people? It means he will never use anyone. Second, God does not treat us according to our faults as long as we have hearts that are submissive and willing to change for the better. This is where all of these people challenge us. Matthew was a thief and a tax collector, but with a willing heart to change, and he did. So too was Zacchaeus. He was a thief and a tax collector, but with a willing heart to change, and he did. So too was Peter, and he changed. So too was David. He changed. Until today, he gave us that beautiful Psalm, Psalm 50, that we say always. Oh, have mercy on me, God, in your kindness, in your compassion, blot out my offense. He was a sinner who beat his breast, acknowledged his guilt, and was ready to change. With such a heart, God chose him. So stop judging people from their past sins. Look at their willingness to change for the better, and that is what God looks at. That is why he chose Jacob, despite his fraudulent character, over Esau. Some of us who even point and talk about the faults of others have such proud hearts and will never admit our own sins. How will God use us? And so we keep on looking at the ones that we think are worse than us. God keeps using them despite their sins and will never use us because he sees the heart. We will never acknowledge our own mistake. We would never acknowledge our guilt. With such proud hearts, how would God use us? So therefore, dear friends, God is not concerned about the sin, rather about the heart. He will choose you and he will use you despite your weaknesses, only if you have a willing and a contrite heart. Amen. We wish each and every one of you a very fruitful weekend. May Saint Maria Goretti intercede for us. Amen. The Lord be with you. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit come on you and remain with you forever. Amen.